It's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Time for the High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. And fellas, like the A&M soccer and A&M volleyball teams, the youth have forgotten how to lose at football. And
boy, let's see that way.
They keep winning. Yeah. Also, before we dive into all the high school games, we should, and someone texted this in, give a shout-out to a high school product of the area, Chris Johnson. Great performance in the second half for Baylor on Saturday.
Larry actually called me and he texted me and told me that Chris Johnson had just come into the game, and I got in just in time to see Chris throw a touchdown pass. And I was actually over at Bryan this morning and watching them work out for their game this week and talked to B.J. Ross. We're going to do a feature on this week. And B.J. said, you know, when he was a senior here, he said, a lot of people were kind of down on Chris. They didn't think he'd be able to make it big time. He said, he taught me all about being a quarterback. He worked with me. And then he talked about, he said, all he needed was a chance. Well, he just got that chance. There are a lot of people at Bryan that are very proud of Chris Johnson.
Yeah, and the way that Larry's buddy Art Briles described it today at his press conference, it sounds like he will start this week against TCU as well.
Well, and I think a lot of credit to Chris just for hanging in there, you know, and for sticking it out, because it would have been easy not to. You know, there's been, and I'm not saying anything bad about Kyler Murray or Kyle Allen, there's been so much speculation this year about, well, so-and-so's not going to play and they're going to leave or whatever. Well, Chris Johnson, you know, sucked it up, moved to receiver, and look, he got his moment, you know, of glory there in a nationally ranked game, you know. And I think we should say this, too, and you guys tease a lot about Coach Riles yelling at me, which he did. But in addition to being a Larry Yeller, he's obviously a quarterback whisperer, too.
Yeah.
So let's give some credit for that.
And that guy can coach some football.
Yeah, but I want to give a lot of credit to Chris, because he's just a good kid and made great grades in school. He's the kind of leader that that you want to represent your
he's
school.
He's an anti-Aubrey.
He's the anti-Aubrey. That's exactly right.
Well, he's way more athletic than me. I will give him that.
It was a great night for him. And the fact that David knows him and that he is a good kid and that he's the kind of guy you can root for makes
easily,
it even better. And you know the people at Bryan are just how sweet is that for them.
First thing I heard from Ross Rogers when I came, he said, did you see Chris the other night? Yeah, it was great. It was really good.
All right, always good to see that. Let's talk about the guys themselves. Bryan, winners. College Station, winners. Consol, Navasota. It seems like everybody keeps winning.
Everybody's playing pretty well. We'll talk about Navasota in a minute, because they had a little bit of a struggle in their game. But
it was close.
The second round of the playoffs, and David kind of predicted this a little bit, Aubrey, it's hard to tell with the playoff brackets. You would think each round gets progressively tougher, and I think you could make the point that after the third round, that is a little more common, but it's not unusual in the Texas high school football playoffs with four teams getting in from each district that you could have a tougher game in the first round in by district than you do in the area round. David kind of predicted that this week. He thought Bryan might be the most competitive game. The Vikings won that pretty convincingly. The two games that I covered, A&M Consolidated beat Magnolia 49-0. It was nowhere near as competitive as their by-district game against Waco had been. And then the game that I covered the night after that, College Station won 52-7 against Houston North Forest, and that wasn't a competitive game either. I think all of our area teams, and maybe we should go with David since he called the shots on the other rounds as well, I think all of them will get much stiffer tests coming up this week in the regional semifinals.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I do want to say something about the Bryan game. The game, you kind of looked at the score because it stayed close for an extremely long period of time. Bryan gave up some long, big plays defensively, which is not something they do all that often. That doesn't happen all that often. But they hurt themselves in the game the other night. They got down in scoring position and didn't get points, which is not something they've done much this year. Usually when they get there, they either get a field goal or they get the ball in the end zone, and that's something they've been very good about this entire entire season, but had a few mistakes, and they basically talked to a couple of kids today. They said, we can't do that this week. We've got to do that against George Ranch. But this is a big game for them to be playing at this round. And I got the feeling, Larry, like they were almost excited to be there last year for Thanksgiving. Now I think they see this as a game that's part of the process, which does make it a lot easier for you to win that game against George Ranch, I would think.
Well, you got to have a game that was close and had some big plays. My games were 42-0 at halftime and 38-0 at halftime. So I just got to find a mouse that I can put in my pocket to keep statistics in the second half, and I can have my story written before the final gun even goes off and just plugs in the number. I think you're right. I think Consol went this far, David, a couple of years ago. They made it beyond this round to the state quarterfinals, but these kids didn't play. You know, this is a new group of kids, but then you look at College Station, they got beat, upset, by Hutto in the first round last year and had never won a playoff game until a couple of weeks ago. Now they're three rounds in, and I think they have a pretty good matchup coming this week. So all three of them, it'll be interesting. You know, David will have the Bryan game. It looks like I'll have College Station on Friday night and then Consol on Saturday. I'm looking forward to covering a game at NRG Stadium.
Yeah, you get the fancy place. Well, and Bryan's going to a fancy place.
Yeah, they're going to TDECU Stadium, which, of course, is former Robertson Stadium on the University of Houston campus. It's been spruced up a bit.
The other thing, Aubrey, want to talk about, and we do have a short week, so I don't know how much more we'll be able to talk about those games. It's neat that we have the three teams still alive in the playoffs.
We only have three shows this week. I started to say we should just dedicate one day to each of the teams.
I have something special coming up for tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
It's Consol-related.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a little teaser on that.
Don't spoil
it. We did want
to
mention a couple of the area games. I'm working on a column for tomorrow's paper about Cameron's really remarkable win. Aubrey, they're three-time defending state champions.
One in 45-44 over Malakoff.
Have won 19 straight postseason games now after beating Malakoff 45-44. But get this, they didn't just beat Malakoff 45-44. They trailed in the first half 32-7.
Wow.
That's a big hole to dig your way out of. And so I'm writing a column about that. I talked to Rick Rhodes, the Cameron coach, today about how they got that accomplished. And it was an amazing game, an amazing comeback for the Yeomen. And then David and I talked about this. They went through all of that. Now they play Friday afternoon against a 12-0 team.
Yeah.
So the Yeomen are 11-1, ranked third in the state, have won three consecutive state championships, 19 straight playoff games. They're playing a 12-0 team in the regional semifinals this week.
Yeah, playing Grandview.
Yeah, so yeah. It's interesting.
Grandview is one of my favorite teams because from a uniform standpoint, I don't know if they still do this, but they used to have remember the old Bengal uniforms with the stripes across
them? Yeah.
Well, they have black and white stripes for the Zebras.
Oh, good.
It's a good look. It's a sharp look.
We also had one of our area teams, correct me if I'm wrong here, but might have had recorded the last win ever over Lamarck.
Yeah, Caldwell got the win over Lamarck, and as far as we know, that will be the last football game Lamarck ever plays. And you're talking about a team that's won state championships, I mean, year after year after year. Stephenville and Lamarck played each other forever in the old 4A, and championship games happened time after time. Stephenville won most of those, but they got to the championship game many times, and Caldwell knocked them out last week. That's just a big, big win.
This morning I talked to A&M Consolidated Defensive Coordinator Dale Williams, who's the former head coach at Caldwell, and you mentioned the fact, David, that this is as far as the Hornets have been in the playoffs since Coach Williams was out there running the program. Really happy for Bobby Jack Goforth and the Hornets. And that's a big deal. Aubrey, I think in the high school football playoffs, the second round is kind of a mile marker. When you're still playing, and David's going to have something later in the week about this, but when you're still playing on Thanksgiving, you're three rounds in, then, it was amazing. I don't know what David saw over at Bryan today, but when I was over at A&M Consolidated, I mean, there is a pep in everybody's step. They are still practicing football. They're 2 days, whatever, 3 days away from Thanksgiving. They're still playing. They're going to NRG Stadium. Life doesn't get a whole lot better when you're a high school football
player. Yeah, that's true even of you know, the powerhouse programs in the state. I mean, I know, like, in at Kerrville, and, of course, they lost this weekend. But when I was there.
Nail lost, too.
Both of our teams lost. But it wasn't really real until three rounds in because, you know, even your good teams, even the teams that expect to win in the first and second round, you know, when it gets to the third round, when you're at Thanksgiving and you're there with your family, you're really thinking about what's going on in the weekend.
Right.
And like you said, that's a special marker.
We actually, for our Wednesday show this week, I actually went around and recorded today something with all of our all of the coaches in town and asked them about their Thanksgiving thoughts, and we'll get a variety of things that are on a
man, we have a holiday theme because tomorrow's guest is going to be live from New York City where some members of the Bengal Bells dance team is in New York for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
And
their sponsor and the head coach's wife will be live with us from New York tomorrow on the show.
All right.
Cool.
Man, y'all are I got to find some new guests for
a lot of pressure on you.
We mentioned Navasota. They won it over Jasper 35-21. What a big game that was. 28-21 late in the game. We should also mention Trendavian Dixon is now the all-time touchdown receiving leader in Texas high school history. That's just an absolutely amazing accomplishment. He moved by Jordan Shipley, and with his 74th touchdown reception, did that just prior to halftime. That's just astonishing to me. 74 touchdown receptions.
It's even more impressive because he was a guest on our show after his sophomore year.
And yeah,
the next two seasons were not ruined by being on this show. So that's a nice. He's got that going for us, which is nice.
Yeah, they got a tough one coming up this week as well because Navasota is going to move on to play Carthage after getting by Jasper. That's not going to be an easy game, and they're playing at Lamar on Friday, a 6 o'clock game there. So we got people. I'm telling you, it's spaced out all over the place. We've got afternoon games. We've got games in Lamar. We got games in Palestine. We got them in Bullard. We got them in Lago Vista.
We pretty much have East Texas, Central and East Texas covered from Lamar, up way up to the northeast.
Well, Caldwell's playing West Orange Dark at that new stadium that the Ducaney between Ducaney and Porter there, and that's going to be a Friday night game. A lot of really interesting games coming up. Franklin is taking on Newton. How many times have we talked about that game before? Newton off to a terrible start, mostly because they played spectacularly good teams in non-district, and that's going to be Franklin's gigantic test, and they're going to play that one in Henderson, which we played in Henderson when I was in high school, and that was a drive from Mahia of about 3 hours. I can't even imagine how far that is from Franklin.
A little bit of ways there, but yeah, should be an exciting week.
It's amazing that we still have so many teams playing, Aubrey, and I think it's really spiced up by the fact that we have the three local teams, because we've become accustomed to success now with Navasota and Cameron and Bremont, but the fact that we got three locals still playing is big.
I don't want to.
And three games in Houston, by the way, at relatively big stadiums on Saturday, because University of Houston's hosting that Brian George Ranch game, and AM Consolidated and Ridgepoint are going to play at NRG, and the BV Chia Mustangs are playing Fort Bend Chargers for a championship, and they're at Houston Baptist.
All right,
so we got.
We
big,
may have to send
stadiums.
You down to that. You may have to skip the LSU game.
Yeah, that doesn't seem that important. Well, I'll just skip that one. Go
by
down
comparison
to Houston
at this
weekend.
Point, right?
Yeah. These teams are playing for something. The A&M and LSU are maybe playing to keep LSU's coach. I don't know what they're playing for exactly. So maybe better bowl standing. But yeah, it should be a fun weekend, and I know everyone around here is excited. Been a good year already.
See
if you can keep it rolling.
If you win this week, you're halfway to the state championship in the playoffs. I mean, that ain't bad.
Well, I was going to ask. You don't want to get the cart before the horse. I know that everyone's going to have tough games this week or three rounds, and everyone's hard. But
yes,
are we one? Would it be next week, or would it be the next week before the College Station schools would play each other?
We would be talking about not this week, but the following week.
That'd be
within the realm of possibility, right?
Yeah. Then, so they got a lot of hurdles.
That's
to clear
what to get that's going to be. College Station again.
Yeah. It's Catageddon, right?
It'd be Catageddon, right?
So I don't know. Like I said,
purple and maroon.
A lot to overcome before we get to that point. But it's almost December, and it's still a possibility. So we will see how that goes.
I hope it happens.
I think our show will melt down. At least our 15-minute segment.
It will just be high school all day that Friday. I think we would have to do
the high school report as we know it probably would no longer exist. It would just implode.
We'll see what happens. Who knows? We'll have to expand our coverage if we get the Katagutten game. And we will see how it goes. All right, that was today's high school report brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozier, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozier, proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll be back with the news. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.